This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Jilted Prince, written by Eve Longley, performed by Tyler Dunn.
Chapter 1. It was a dark and gloomy day for a wedding. His wedding, to be exact. The one currently on hold because the bride got cold feet. More like hot feet, considering how fast she booked it down the aisle. Given he wasn't all that keen on getting married, he might have uttered a sigh of relief. Dear old Dad heard it.
"Don't just stand there, boy. Go after her."
Lucifer's idea of a whisper boomed because of the acoustics in the church, the vaulted ceiling cradling sound and bouncing it. To those who thought a church an odd place for the devil to be, it should be noted that Lucifer was only prevented from entering holy sites. The bleary eyes of the priest presiding weren't the only sinful things happening in this once religious place. "Go after her and do what?" Chris muttered as the crowd in the pews shifted restlessly. They also whispered, mocked him. He noted their disrespect for later. One day, they'd rue their actions. First, he had to get through this farce. While his question was rhetorical, his father had a smart-ass reply.
"Bring her back. Drag her by the hair if you have to. You're a Baphomet. I'm sure you can manage to abduct one woman."
"Have you met her?" Isabel might appear cute and sweet, but she could fight as dirty as anyone he'd ever met during his stint on the streets.
"She's a woman. They like being manhandled and told what to do."
Advice that might explain why the devil couldn't keep a steady girlfriend. "I am not manhandling anyone."
"Maybe if you had, we wouldn't be in this situation. Do you need some pointers?"
Was there anything more annoying than a meddling father? Maybe she had to use the little girl's room.
"Or maybe you're a little pussy who can't control his woman," said his dad in a high-pitched voice.
"She's not my woman," Chris muttered. But she could have been if he'd played his cards right. She wanted marriage. He wanted a blowjob. Apparently, he couldn't have one without the other.
"Damned right she's not your woman, which is the problem. Do I need to remind you of what will happen if you don't marry her fine, tight ass?"
Ah, fuck. Father made it very clear what would happen if Christopher didn't get married in his place. Murder and mayhem. Given Chris still kind of liked the people his dad was talking about killing, he found himself taking long strides toward the aisle. Carpeted in red, the better to hide the bloodbath if this wedding didn't happen. At least Isabel hadn't gone too far, having locked herself in a room off the church's vestibule. He rapped on the door. "Isabel, it's me." "I know. Let me in." She suggested he do something anatomically impossible. A pity, really, because if men truly could fuck themselves, the world would probably have fewer wars and a market surge on lube. "Don't be like that. Women, always making a big deal out of nothing. I'm sure we can talk this out." And handle whatever thing had her panties in a twist. Probably on her period or something. Just his luck. "Open the door." Christopher knocked again and tried to ignore the snickering crowd at his back. Bloody gawkers, enjoying a man's humiliation. Why couldn't he be in the crowd pointing fingers and laughing? They wouldn't laugh when he held their lives in the palm of his hand. One day. Because, hello, son of the devil, he had a destiny to fulfill. "Go away. Why are you being like this?" It might have emerged a bit whinier than he liked. An adjustment of his dick took care of any emasculation. "I thought you were happy to see me at the altar." He certainly was. His father, the Lord of Sin, more commonly known as Lucifer, the asshole who'd decided to take an interest in Chris's life, had given him an ultimatum. Get married, or else. Given or else involved painful torture, because dear old Dad was an expert, and a killing spree of Isabel and her entire family, Chris chose marriage. At the time, he'd not known who the bride would be. Dad wouldn't tell him. so Chris kind of expected some ugly crone of a woman at the altar. After all, why else would his deadbeat father force Chris to take his place in some decades-old promise? But instead, Isabel, a woman he'd come to know and really like, and after whom he lusted something fierce, just ask his hand and empty lotion bottle, was his chosen bride. A wife-to-be who'd slapped Chris once she realized he was her groom and then run off. Jilted. At the altar. In front of a crowd. His balls might never come out of hiding. "I don't want to talk to you," said his obstinate fiancée. "I call bullshit. You were happy to see me." Her face had lit up once she recognized him behind the mask his father had made him wear, just like Chris had felt a huge relief when he discovered his golden-haired Isabel, the hottie with the bangin' body, under the veil. "A body I should be hitting tonight." Period or not, he was getting some action on his honeymoon. "Let me ask you something. Did you know you were marrying me today?" she asked from the other side of the thick portal. "No." Stupid father and his secrets. "But I have to say, I am really happy it was you. I thought Lucifer was marrying me off to some old wrinkled broad. I wasn't looking forward to going down on old pussy." But he had hoped if his bride were a certain age, she'd opted for removable dentures. He'd heard interesting things about gumming. "You are such a jerk," Isabel yelled. Women could be so confusing. "Why are you so pissed? I thought you wanted to get hitched." Their last fight was about the fact that he wanted to get into her pants, but the only way to do so was to get married. At the time, he'd chosen to abstain. Marriage for sex seemed kind of extreme. She didn't take it well. "I did want to be your wife when I thought you loved me, but we both know how that went." All too well. He recalled a moment in another church when he'd gotten to first and second base and was rounding on third before he encountered a dilemma. A magical chastity belt that wouldn't go away unless he said, "I do," with Isabel. In one of his less than shining moments, he might have balked. "I'll admit, I froze, but I'm all good for it now." Especially now that he knew that not marrying Isabel was detrimental to his health. And perhaps he could admit, to himself only, that he really did like Isabel. Arg, the dreaded little L-word, and wanted to make things right. Silence. "Isabel, did you hear me? I said I'm good with us getting hitched. You and me together, forever, ducky. Let's do it." Then they could really do it. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So what if he hadn't planned to get hitched for a while longer? Plans changed. "Isabel?" He rapped against the door again and heard nothing, even when he leaned his head to press his ear against it. "I don't think she likes you anymore." The words were spoken loudly and rimmed with brimstone. Why can't he just go away? All his life, Chris waited for his father to take an interest. Now that Lucifer had, Chris just wanted him gone. The glare Chris shot at his father did nothing to wipe his smarmy smile. "Would you shut the fuck up?" "Such disrespect." Lucifer put a hand on his chest. "Suck up. But kissing my hairy ass doesn't change the fact that your girlfriend hates you." The idea of Isabel hating him struck a chord inside. One of denial. "No, she doesn't. She likes me." What wasn't there to like? Tall, good-looking, decent bod, and, oh yeah, future destroyer of nations. Women everywhere would be lining up to get in his pants once he fulfilled his destiny. "But I don't want every woman. I want Isabel." The plaintive note meant he needed to scratch or hit something. The person he chose as his target hit the ground, knocked out cold, but no one said a word. All eyes watched the byplay between Chris and his dad. "All eyes are on me." He'd have to do something. And soon. "If she likes you so much, then why isn't she answering?" His father, the original devil's advocate. Lucifer straightened his tie, adorned with red-eyed cuddly koalas, and flicked invisible specks from his red lapel. Christopher eyed the closed door. What logical reason could there be for her refusing to open? He'd apologized, told her he wanted to marry her. Chris would have said dirtier things to make her hot, but her mother listened. That woman scared him. I'm sure there's a reason she's not answering. Chris shrugged. She's probably fixing her makeup. She'd better hurry up. The natives are getting restless. His father whispered loudly as he peeked over his crimson-clad shoulder at the Rasputin clan filling the hall directly behind them. The deal was that you'd take my place. I am a single, swinging man. I can't get married. It would send unattached men around the world into a tailspin. The Lord of Sin must never allow himself to be restricted to one woman for life. One woman? Chris snorted, as if you wouldn't cheat. I am many things, but despite what my brother says, I beat him fair and square each time. And some promises are binding, even to someone as sexually prolific as me. The very idea of a monogamous, married devil did blow the mind. But the alternative meant that Chris would be required to take his place. Don't you cheat on your girlfriends all the time? Not exactly. I just sometimes forget to tell them things are over before I move on. Lucifer smiled. Although that doesn't happen as often now with texting and instant messaging. It saves on the unpleasant hysterics. The logic was something Chris could understand. No one wanted to deal with an irrational woman. Except Isabel wasn't being unreasonable. She was hurt because she thought he willingly married someone else after rejecting her. The realization lit up like a huge light bulb in his head. Hot damn, that's why she's mad. His powers must be growing. He'd just figured out a woman. He faced his father. You can stop bitching. I don't bitch, I talk too much, I've noticed. Chris interrupted. It's a wonder you get any shit done, given how much you enjoy the sound of your voice, and it's not even constructive advice. Dark slashes of brow rose high on Lucifer's forehead. You think you can criticize the Lord of Hell? I've been ruling my domain for eons. You're old, I get it. And, yeah, I'm gonna criticize. You're stuck in your ways. It's why the world needs me. A hushed ooh went through the watching crowd. Are you challenging me, boy? Lucifer leaned forward, his gaze intent, the fires licking and dancing in his pupils, the tendrils of them reaching out of his face. Cool. Maybe one day Chris would inherit the trick. Your day is coming, old man, spoken with emphasis. But not today. Today, I am going to marry Isabel. Good luck with that. Lucifer pointed to the door. Still closed. She's gonna open it, Chris pounded. Isabel, open up. Snicker. Chris shot a glare at his father, who adopted a benign expression, but the flames in his orbs told another story. He's laughing at me. Everyone is laughing at you. An insidious reminder. Christopher glared at the door. If only it would open, he would see Isabel, make her understand. She was just playing hard to get. Needed a little more time to get over her snit with Chris. He waited, knowing the door would fling open any second now.
We've waited long enough, announced someone behind them. You are reneging on our deal, demon.
The crotchety complaint rang loudly in the vestibule, and people automatically shifted to make a path as the elder Rasputin, the Rasputin, the wizard who'd once ruled Russia via a puppet czar, strode to the forefront, his bald pate shining, his long beard oiled, his thin lips twisted in annoyance. Lucifer turned to face the old wizard and pointed a finger.
Don't get snippy with me, old-timer. I held up my part of the bargain. I provided a male Baphomet as a groom. It is the girl who is not cooperating.
Probably because she was disappointed in marrying your heir instead of the King of Hell himself.
Chin tilted stubbornly. Rasputin didn't back down. For some reason, Chris felt compelled to interject. This might be semantics, but prophecy does say I will eventually hold that title.
Over my dead body, growled Lucifer.
If you insist. There was no love lost between Chris and his dad. Having spent his childhood fatherless, and the pivotal figure in a cult that declared Chris the Antichrist, he had little use for the devil himself.
I don't care which king marries my granddaughter, but you will comply, and quickly, or Lucifer loses, and you know the price.
Rasputin held the devil's stare. His dad didn't fidget.
You'll see your piece of the bargain, old-timer. Never have it said that a Baphomet doesn't keep his word.
The inanity of the statement made Chris blink. Aren't you the king of broken promises?
I am also the king of wheeling and dealing.
What exactly are you afraid of losing, Father?
Lucifer winced. Don't use the F word. It's so... so...
true, Chris offered. Feeling guilt about being a deadbeat no good?
Actually, that part brings me great pride. It's the reminder that I have a progeny old enough to challenge me that's disturbing. I usually prefer to kill you all before birth.
Lucifer hissed. Let me rectify that problem. Smoke curled from his nostrils.
Now, boys,
Maria Rasputin, Isabel's mother, inserted herself between them.
No need to get testy. Let's just give Isabel a moment to compose herself. After all, my poor child was taken by surprise when she saw the man chosen to be her husband. I suspect she was overwhelmed with joy. It was rather naughty of us to keep the identity of her groom a secret. Then again, if said groom had acted as he should have and eloped with Isabel, we might not be standing here.
Maria eyed Chris pointedly. Yet someone else blaming him for this mess? Excuse him, but he wasn't the one who ran off.
How was I supposed to talk to her, let alone elope, when he,
Chris jabbed a finger at Lucifer, kept me locked in a prison cell in hell?
You couldn't escape a cell?
Absolute surprise.
Not so fucking mighty, I guess, snickered Evangeline, the wicked witch who'd almost become his wife instead of his sister-in-law.
In a lucky twist of fate, Chris had avoided marrying her. Apparently, had Evangeline still owned a cherry to pop, she would have been his bride.
Shudder.
Maria appeared pensive as she asked,
Does Isabel know you were unavoidably detained?
No, but it shouldn't matter. She likes me.
Which is why she hates you so much right now,
Maria agreed.
She likes you so much, she is angry you didn't accomplish some type of romantic heroic gesture.
He blinked.
What the fuck are you talking about? About the fact that Isabel is a bit of a dreamer. She gets that from her father. I think perhaps she had a certain expectation of you that you failed to fulfill.
Can you speak in fucking English? What are you talking about?
She wants you to be her hero.
A hero? The Antichrist was many things, but a hero? Didn't that mean doing the right thing? And selflessness? Did he have it in him to put someone ahead of himself?
Hero?
Lucifer was the first one to disparage the very idea.
The boy is no hero. Look at him. He's weak. No comprehension of hard work. A pure slacker who has yet to realize that a slacker of value is one who is a hard worker. So hard that when he finally takes a day off and does nothing, not the slightest bit of work, which is harder than it sounds for the truly driven, that's the kind of slacking that's most precious.
But those very traits you describe make the best kind of hero.
Maria leaned forward.
The young man with a selfish heart seizes a moment where he can be great, where a single action, the right one, will catapult him into infamy. A veritable hero.
Or villain? Lucifer purred. It can go either way. The battle of light versus dark, the dark side and everyone else.
He smiled.
And you want to marry that to your daughter? No wonder you've got a condo reserved in the first ring. Your level of evil is quite charming.
It will be a while before I visit your domain,
Maria replied with an imperious toss of her head.
And even then, we will be family, Lucy.
She emphasized the word.
And family tolerates each other.
I greatly anticipate the awkward and sometimes outrageously inappropriate meals we shall have as families.
The feuds will be glorious.
At this point, Chris tuned them out because, holy shit, Christmas dinner would be interesting this year. Chris rapped on the door again.
Come on, Isabel, let me in so we can talk.
Nothing.
I do believe the little bird has flown, his father barked loudly enough for everyone to hear.
Thanks.
Isabel wouldn't run, he thought. Hoped. Talk about a huge clusterfuck.
When had his life gotten so complicated?
A few weeks ago, he was a simple gravedigger, living rent-free in a cemetery, getting drunk and high whenever he pleased, waiting for the day he inherited the earth. Then Isabel showed up. The dead began to walk, his mother turned out to not be his mom, and his biological one began stalking him. Add in that the devil really was his father, and a huge dick, the only good thing he'd inherited from him, and his life had gone from lazy and relaxing to shit. Pure fucking shit. And now, he was a laughingstock.
Me, the king of fierce countenance, ridiculed by a woman whose boobs I've seen and touched.
Unacceptable. Just like the lack of reply and the closed door were offensive. It should be noted that while he was the Antichrist, with all kinds of untapped potential, he didn't always know how to wield his magic. It preferred to work in bursts and fits, totally unreliable. Unless he got angry enough. Then it flowed, a hot torrent of power that coalesced in his hands and fingertips. So when he pounded on the door again, it shattered. Splintered into a million toothpick-sized pieces that had his father clapping and shouting, "Bravo! Chip off the demon he is!" Chris shot a glare at his dad.
Would you shut up?
Make me. So juvenile. So Chris. Ugh. With a sigh of annoyance, Chris turned from the taunting that would never end with his dad to the open doorway. Pretty cool, the whole blowing it to shit aspect. Surely Isabel would be impressed. Even better, would she consider it heroic? He stepped into the room. The very empty room, with its only window open wide.
Told you she was gone.
Would you shut up? Chris exploded. He whirled on his father and swung, only to have his fist caught and held.
I wouldn't recommend doing that, boy.
The inflection on the nickname turned dark, and a crimson glow lit his father's eyes. Chris didn't push, didn't test his dad. He wasn't ready for that yet. So he yielded, but played the game with words. You're an ass.
Who is stronger than you? Lucifer taunted.
The pressure of the fist around his tightened, crushing his hand. But Chris refused to grimace, refused to show any sign at all as he and his father engaged in a stare down.
Daddy, stop that right now,
a feminine voice tried to ruin the bonding moment.
Stay out of this, Muriel.
Lucifer didn't take his eyes off Chris as he addressed his daughter.
My half-sister, one of two fucking many.
Chris always assumed he was an only child. After all, prophecy spoke of Lucifer's son becoming the overlord of the world. Not daughters. Son. Yet Lucifer had more than a handful of daughters, and all of them were favored over Chris, the rightful heir. It made Chris simmer, and ever so slightly, he flexed his hand, and the grip Lucifer had loosened. Muriel placed her fingertips atop their hands.
Enough!
Stay out of this, Muri, Lucifer warned softly.
No, Chris is my brother, and anyone can see he's upset right now. He needs a hug, not your attitude.
Lucifer shot her an incredulous look.
You expect me to hug him? Are you on your period?
Was PMSing contagious? It would explain a lot.
Daddy, that is not appropriate at all, Muriel screeched. Say you're sorry.
Don't start, Muri.
Say it.
I should have spanked you more as a child, he growled.
But you were a good daddy who didn't.
Don't say that, the devil whispered, a real whisper this time. You'll ruin my reputation.
Oh, don't worry about your rep, Chris interjected. I'll make sure to tarnish it.
Flaming eyes met his. Be quiet. I wasn't speaking to you, and I don't appreciate the interruption.
Too bad. Chris flexed his hand and broke his father's hold. Interesting to know.
Here's the thing, Dad. I really don't give a damn what you say or think. I don't want or need you. Then we at least agree on something.
See? Isn't this nice? Everyone getting along?
Muriel crooned. This warm, fuzzy feeling is making me ill, Muri.
Chris fought those emotions by reminding himself that one day he'd take his dad's throne. However, first, he needed to find Isabel and make things right. Where did she go?
Chapter 2. As Christopher argued with his dad and the Rasputins, Isabel was busy. Busy trying to escape.
I need to get out of here.
Get away before she wound up married to a rotten fucking jerk. Isabel couldn't stop a litany of curses from escaping. Her rage simmered, a huge and heavy blanket of emotion that had her seething. Rage because the man she loved, the man she wanted to marry, the man who hadn't come to save her from an arranged marriage, was the groom wearing a mask at the altar.
Why didn't he tell me we had to marry? Why didn't anyone say a fucking word?
When she'd accepted her fate, the one that made her a pawn in a wager her grandfather had made, she'd never expected to have to go through with it. Foolish Isabel had this fantasy that Christopher would come to his senses, realize he loved her, and rescue her before her family forced her to marry a stranger. Instead, she ended up walking down the aisle in a dress bought off the rack, hoping with every step that Chris would arrive, sweep in, and carry her off. Except Chris never planned to come save her. He appeared just as surprised as Isabel when she met him at the altar.
He didn't know he was marrying me. He was prepared to marry a stranger.
That hurt. Hurt so bad, she didn't give a damn what the repercussions were. She slapped Christopher and ran, pulled up her skirts and bolted down the aisle. A runaway bride who locked herself in a room to pace angrily. Rotten asshole. Ready to marry a stranger, but not Isabel, the woman he'd so recently tried to fuck.
I hate him.
He was a no-good asshole, just like his father, and to think he had the nerve to demand she forget all that and still tie herself to him. Marry him, even though he didn't apologize for being a jerk. Didn't say he was sorry for not coming to rescue her or at least letting her know about the devious plan their families had concocted. Everyone had betrayed her. They'd all let her stroll down the aisle, a woman convinced she was walking to her own gallows. Mother, grandfather, they had to have known. Did her sister know too? How deep did the perfidy run? Did they now laugh at stupid Isabel? We'll see who laughs last. The window in the room she'd chosen to hide in opened, and while it wasn't very wide, she managed to wiggle through, tearing her gown in the process. As if she cared. Ugly off-the-rack number looked good on her, but in no way resembled her dream gown. She hit the ground and looked around, finding herself in a parking lot full of cars, and her with no keys or magic to start them. If this were the wedding she'd planned, the one she'd dreamed of all her life, there would have been a horse-drawn carriage. She would have jumped on a stallion's back and ridden off to, well, she didn't know where to go other than home, but only long enough to pack her things and board a plane to somewhere. I am done with family and promises and prophecies. Fuck it. Fuck them. Time she forged her own path.
Given her absence would soon be noted, Isabel had to get moving, though. The road would be too easy for them to find her. A woman in a wedding gown hitchhiking would be quickly spotted. And I don't want to be found. Boom. The explosion had her looking behind at the window she'd fled from. A cloud of particles blew out. Someone had grown impatient with waiting, which meant her disappearance would soon be noticed. Move your ass. Behind the church was a forest. No one would think to look for her there. Hiking up her skirts, she ran, skipping over the lumpy lawn, keeping an eye on the cemetery far to her left. There'd been issues lately with the dead rising. She had her knife tucked inside the garter on her thigh, just in case she needed to stab her husband on their wedding night. Plus, she still had the magical sword her father gave her, a long blade that hid along her hip in an invisible sheath. But she'd prefer if escape was the only thing she had to deal with right now. Once she managed to evade the matchmaking families determined to ruin her life, she'd have to find someone to take pity on her and buy her a giant greasy burger. With cheese. Fried onions. Oh, and pickles. Lots of them. Some women went for ice cream when depressed. When angry, Isabel preferred copious amounts of deep-fried fast food. The forest she entered started out skinny and sparse, the trees thin and wavering, their branches mostly bare. The deeper she traveled, the thicker the trunks became, the bark on them knotted and gnarly, dark in color and rough when she scraped her skin passing too close. The limbs overhead weaved and mingled, forming a dense canopy that soon began to diminish visibility, creating a dank gloom. It kind of matched her mood. Not a single sound pierced the forest. The wind held its breath. Even the birds stayed their chirping tongues. She went deeper. The fourth time she got jerked back because her long skirt got snagged on something, she pulled out her knife and hacked at the length. The blade sliced through the fabric, and soon she had a ragged hem mini-dress that bared her legs. As for her heels, she slammed them on a rock and left the stiletto part behind. Not exactly the most comfortable footwear, but better than going barefoot in the woods. In the distance, people shouted, breaking the silence. The church crowd must have finally discovered her disappearance. The words wavered in the air, their actual meaning indistinct. But she could imagine what they said. "Isabel, get your ass back here and marry Christopher because we said so." Too bad, suckers. She was done doing what other people said. By now, her grandfather probably had a conniption. After all, this wedding was his plan. The debt she had to pay, entirely his fault. Would her departure annul the promise? Would Lucifer retaliate? Will he hurt my family? For a moment, she paused and peered back. While her grandfather was a crotchety old bastard, she still loved him and wouldn't want to see him hurt. Maybe I shouldn't run away. Then she hardened her heart as she recalled her grandfather having no qualms about marrying his granddaughter off to the devil himself. Marry me off to the biggest sinner known to mankind indeed. And his son wasn't much better. When he couldn't have sex with me, he lost all interest. Man-whore. What kind of husband would he make? Probably a shitty, cheating one. The anger fueled her, and imagining the many ways she wanted to hurt Chris probably explained why she didn't immediately notice when the forest began to thin again and the ground softened. When her foot plunged past the surface of the ground, sucked down by a pocket of mud and water, she blinked and looked around. Damn it. She'd wandered into a swampy area, the marshy ground looking solid only until weight was put on it. The trees were covered in lichen, the dull green a sign of moisture, the smell that of things decaying and molding. Not exactly her favorite place to trek, yet there was no turning back. Going back meant facing them all, perhaps being forced to wed. How bad could the swamp be, and how far did it extend? She knew this area fairly well. After all, she'd grown up in South Carolina, and while she'd never played in this marsh before, she was pretty sure if she kept going straight, she'd eventually hit the highway. Freeways had truck stops and truckers. Surely one of them would give her a ride and some food. Mother's many warnings flashed in her head.
Truckers only want one thing from girls who hitchhike.
If they tried to get payment in flesh, they'd soon find out why you didn't mess with a Rasputin. A Rasputin knew how to hide bodies. Yanking her foot free, Isabel paid more attention to her surroundings, trying to walk on the more solid patches. But those grew few and far between. Soon, she slogged through slimy water that rose to mid-thigh. She tried not to think of the things that might lurk under the surface, looking to have a taste. Look at that yummy flesh, just begging for a bite. Shudder. However, she'd come too far to turn back now. Just a little farther, the marsh would end eventually. After what seemed an eternity, she noticed what appeared to be solid ground up ahead. The trees tall and straight, their roots hidden in the earth instead of exposed. She waded faster, encouraging her leaden legs to move, managing only a slightly quicker shuffle in the thick water. Wading around in a ragged dress on her wedding day. This certainly wasn't how she'd imagined things. She'd always hoped to get married in the Catherine Palace in St. Petersburg, Russia, like her parents had. A fitting place for a czarina. Even a fake one. Marrying Chris would have elevated me even higher. He is the Prince of Hell, which would have made me his princess. But she'd escaped that role. Turned down power and glory for a swamp. She'd do it again in a heartbeat, because here was the thing. She didn't want to marry for any reason other than love. And he doesn't love me. True love would have saved the day. Only yards away, dry land beckoned. Her pace quickened, the water sloshing with every step, causing ripples. So it took a moment before she noticed it. The muddy water ahead bubbled and rippled. She paused and clenched her knife tightly. Probably just an air pocket or a fish, no big deal. Except, weren't there rumors of a lizard man living in these parts? Most people would scoff and laugh, calling it an urban legend. They hadn't been raised with magic and the knowledge that monsters did exist. Isabel knew what hid under most beds, so she waited and, when the water's surface exploded with a spatter, didn't show any surprise. Even the slime coating her didn't cause her to bat an eye. It did, however, require that she wipe her lashes enough to see properly. It didn't make the situation any better, though. A monster stood in front of her, an ugly beast, taller than her and very muscular, his skin a combination of matted dark hair and scales. Red eyes glared at her from a lizard-like face, and the black tongue it flicked in her direction just reinforced the non-human aspect. While the thing had two arms and two legs, the hands, more like claws, ended in three fingers with sharp-tipped nails. "I don't suppose you speak English?" she asked. It garbled at her. "Was that your version of Thou Shalt Not Pass? Because if it is, we're going to have an issue," she announced, trying to rein in her fear. While brave and not shabby with a blade, Isabel lacked any kind of potent magic, so when faced with a fearsome predator, she worried. Expression flat and calm, she didn't let it show. She adjusted her grip on her knife and moved slowly to the left. The creature aped her movement. She took a step forward. It didn't budge. There was no point in ignoring it. She would have to fight. Uttering a battle cry, taught by her father when she was just a little girl, she charged at the monster, still hoping it would scatter. It held its ground and let her plunge the knife into its chest, stood there, and did nothing, Then it chuckled, a rattling hiss of a sound. Backing away, she fumbled at her hip for her invisible sheath, her hand curling around the familiar grip of her sword. Before she could pull it free, the monster smiled. "My, those are big teeth." And charged. Oh, shit. She ducked under its swipe and dove to the side. She hit the water with a splash but recovered quickly and whirled. The lizard man turned more slowly, his mouth still curved in a smile, his sharp teeth gleamed. Lovely. Someone had great dental hygiene. All the better to bite me with. She held out her sword in front of her, her grip slick with muddy water, but she'd trained in worse. A Rasputin learned self-defense at a young age. Cousin Adams proved to be a fantastic instructor. "You know, there is a way out of this where neither of us gets hurt," Isabel remarked, circling around the water.
Hiss.
Not exactly a conversation starter. "Let me go, and we'll pretend this never happened." This whole day needed a do-over at this point. They kept circling, the lizard man making small feints, causing her to lash. The constant wading in the water drained her, though. She felt her energy waning, her whip-quick strokes at the monster lagging. This had to stop. Lizard man's sudden dart knocked her sword from her hand. Disarmed, she ducked and swayed to avoid the lunges and grabs. She couldn't fight the monster with strength alone. With no weapon to counter, it was only a matter of time before the beast got the better of her. But that didn't mean she'd give in easily. Duck. Dodge. Run. I can't run. The muck held her almost immobile, but her short steps back didn't draw much attention, and her heel hit higher ground. She stumbled back against it, with her ass facing the lizard man at an angle. He darted, and she could only fling out her hands and brace herself. Those teeth were about to get close. All the better to eat me with. I need a hero. And who did she think of in her time of need? Chris, where are you? Chapter 3. Where is she? An already shitty day got crappier. How far could she have gone? She's a woman in a fucking wedding dress. Chris raked his fingers through his hair, not caring if it stood in spikes. He had a more pressing worry. Living until the morning. His fucking asshole of a father was giving him hell for not marrying Isabel, because apparently it was totally his fault that she ran away. Rasputin was offering to castrate him, with Maria threatening to pickle said removed body parts, for obviously having done something grievous enough to force Isabel to choose flight. Why he got blamed for her running, he'd yet to understand. Chris was the one still in the church, the one willing to say, "I do," and get to the betting aspect. People appeared to be forgetting that part. Where was his sympathy? People should feel sorry for him, the poor jilted groom. His sister Muriel kept telling him not to worry, that things would work themselves out. He wanted to tell her to take her sunny attitude and shove it somewhere cloudy. His other sister, Bambi, the only truly sane person in his family, uttered the only thing of worth. "Where's the booze? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and time to get drunk." A great plan, except the church had nothing but vinegar wine, and his flask was already empty. The empty container perhaps explained why Chris felt like he should hunt down Isabel and talk with her, explain his side of things, maybe even smooth things over. Once she understood that he was the victim in all this, she'd probably forgive him. And give him head. Okay, the last part might be wishful thinking, but at this point, it was all he had. While everyone jumped into cars, Evangeline on her broom because, hey, stuck-up bitches liked hard things between their legs, determined to find the runaway bride, Chris looked to the woods.
Anyone want to help me search in there? He pointed. Isabel's mother, a woman who literally walked around with her nose in the air and had more airs than a freaking queen, sniffed.
I highly doubt she went traipsing in the woods. She is, after all, a lady.
Are we talking about the same girl? Because the Isabel Chris knew wasn't afraid to fight off the decaying Walking Dead and ride a bony dinosaur in a museum uprising.
How do you expect her to wander the woods in heels and a wedding gown?
Maria curled her lip.
Not too bright, are you?
Evangeline took one hand off her broom to tap his cheek. But at least he's pretty.
I'd prefer ugly grandchildren to stupid ones, Maria remarked. Plastic surgery can fix most faults.
And possession can fix any others, Lucifer remarked. Why, I've still got that chap Einstein roasting somewhere in hell. Say the word and I'll give him a pass to serve the family. Think of it as a wedding gift.
There will be no possession of my children, even if they are dumb as rocks.
Chris wanted to cut out his tongue for even using the term, my children.
I know some rocks that would find that offensive, Muriel stated. Golems are really sensitive about those kind of things.
Can you stop talking? He asked, because having a sister was annoying.
No,
Muriel smiled.
Does this mean you're going to noogie me?
Going to what? He went back to not understanding women as Muriel babbled.
Noogie.
She held a hand to her head and pretended to rub.
It's what big brothers do.
I don't want to be your brother. I was supposed to be an only child. He scowled.
Just think of how much more fun Christmas will be now that you have family.
How can you celebrate Christmas? It's a religious holiday for the other side. Muriel rolled her eyes.
Like, hello, Jesus's birthday? Uncle God might not talk to us much, but his kid is still our cousin.
The concept that Jesus was his cousin no longer had the ability to blow his mind. He'd never met the man who walked on water. Probably best Chris didn't get to know his heavenly cousin, since prophecy on their battle was kind of murky on the outcome.
If you are all done wasting air, Isabel is missing, snapped Rasputin.
Want to wager on how long it takes us to find her? Lucifer asked, waving a wad of cash.
They have enough money already. Let's bet something of value, Rasputin declared. No gambling. That's what started all of this in the first place, stated Maria.
I'll wager my favorite broom I find her before any of you do, Evangeline waggled the gleaming wooden handle. I'm surrounded by morons, Chris muttered. While you idiots figure shit out, I'm going for a walk.
In the woods?
Muriel exclaimed, noticing the direction of his steps. She grabbed his arm.
You really shouldn't. It's dangerous.
Yeah, fresh air and nature and all that.
Watch out for dryads. They can be frisky this time of year.
Frisky as in naked and orally inclined? How is that a bad thing? Probably because Isabel wouldn't like it. Considering he walked in the woods all the time and never got molested, he ignored the warning. No one offered to join him, preferring to argue as he walked away. That suited him just fine. He preferred to be alone. That way, he didn't have to find the world he'd carefully cultured chipped away by family. My family. The horror of it. From fostered child to brother and son. People who were actually related to him. He'd never expected that. Didn't account for it in his plans. Shh, mustn't speak of the plan. Would his sisters stand in his way when he tried to take the throne from their father? He hoped not. Having sisters could come in handy. It didn't take long before the woods swallowed the noise behind him, and while those he'd left behind disparaged his choice of direction, he immediately felt a sense of calm drop over him. This felt right. He'd chosen the correct path, and the scrap of lace he saw caught on a branch and the holes a pair of heels had left behind reinforced that. The clues showed she'd come this way, but that didn't mean he turned around and hollered for help.
He wanted a chance to confront Isabel alone, an opportunity to get her to listen to him, admit she was wrong, and apologize. On her knees. Sex was probably out of the question if she still wore that stupid chastity belt. Who did that to their daughter? Then again, if he had a little girl, knowing what boys thought, what boys wanted, I'd lock her in a tower. Best way to ensure that no one defiled her. How about not having a daughter at all? No one to carry on my greatness? Perhaps he'd have a girl or two, but no boys. Boys were terribly naughty creatures. Boys wanted to take what their fathers had. What a father withheld. I'll soon take what's rightfully mine. A ways into the woods, the whispers started. Son. He ignored it. He'd dealt with hallucinations before. Son, I'm still waiting for you to come to me.
Gonna wait a long time, he muttered, especially since he wasn't sure if what he heard was real. The thing that called itself Mom didn't seem to own a regular body. Instead, it chose to haunt him. Last time Chris had seen his supposed mother, she wore a bunch of dead bodies, weaving them together into a giant marionette without strings. Kind of cool, also disturbing. She didn't seem like the kind of mom you should hug. He also hadn't yet determined her motive for looking him up. She'd abandoned him, given him to another woman to raise, and no one had told Chris a thing. For most of his life, he'd thought Clarice, arrested for murder and serving a life sentence in prison until her death, was his mom. Apparently, Clarice only served as a guardian. His true mother remained unknown, and Lucifer claimed ignorance. Chris had yet to decide if he believed him or not. Did Lucifer truly not know, or was it more like he didn't want to know, perhaps because he feared the answer? Anyone who could animate dead bodies, kill from afar, and whisper freaky nothings in his ear probably wasn't the June Cleaver type in an apron and pearls, baking cookies with a smile. Maybe Chris should demand that Isabel bake him cookies once she apologized for jilting him at the altar. The chocolate chip variety with extra chips.
Let me help you find your destiny.
The whisper curled around him in a frosty breath. His skin pimpled in response. And how is my mommy supposed to help? He replied out loud. Sometimes, in the most vivid dreams, you could find answers.
I can show you things, give you power.
I was born to be powerful.
You need a teacher to draw it out. Let me show you.
Now you want to help? Is this your way of buying my affection? Because, you know, you've got a lot of birthdays and Christmases to catch up on.
I will give you the world.
Prophecy says I'll take it, so why do I need your help?
Even a great leader needs allies, a legion for his army.
So you want to join my army, is that what you're saying? Chris kept an eye on the woods as he walked, the conversation happening out loud and in his head. Did that mean his mother was close by? Would she burst from the trees, a sewn-together mishmash of squirrels, rabbits, and deer?
I take orders from no one.
What's that supposed to mean?
Join me.
Join you? He laughed. That's not how this works. I'm the Antichrist, and you're just my mom, or so you say. How do I know you really are my mother? I mean, given your kind of incorporeal and non-humanish in form, I have a hard time seeing how you birthed me.
You are my son.
Well, that was more than indignant.
You will come to me.
And demanding. Yeah, about that. Don't you think I'm kind of old to be moving back in with Mommy? I am a grown man, almost a married one.
You cannot marry the girl.
Cannot? Really? Did no one understand that was the one word to make a man more determined?
I kind of promised Dad I would. And it occurred to Chris that if he didn't marry Isabel, someone else could. Someone else could tap that bangin' body. That idea didn't sit well. Lucifer is using you. The voice inside his head didn't like being ignored. And you're not? Insolent boy! The words slashed at him, razor-sharp ice on his skin that didn't leave a physical mark, but had him gasping nonetheless. Bitch, see if you get a card for Mother's Day. There was no reply. If anyone even spoke to him at all. The problem with hearing a voice alone in the forest was, did it exist if no one else heard it? Best he ignore it. He didn't like what it had to say anyway. As Chris walked, he noted signs of Isabel's passage. The remains of her dress and shoes. Random scraps of lace torn from what was left over. Even a few strands of hair caught on a branch. He reached up to grab the tendrils, only to freeze as the limb curled around his hand. A gentle tug didn't release him. A hard yank did. He snatched back his hand as the rustling giggles of a thousand leaves filled the air.
He's cute,
Bark rubbed in a soft scree of a voice.
I saw him first,
leaves shimmered in reply.
We could share him.
The clacking of many tiny branches. From the bole of the tree nearest him, a woman took shape, her body curvaceous yet willowy, her branching arms gracefully extended with slender, stick-like fingers. Her cascading leafy hair bore a mixture of green with a hint of yellow and brown. Jewel-like, spring-grass eyes peered at him through fine spiderweb lashes. Sap glistening, ruby-red lips parted.
Will the son of the devil come and play?
Kind of on a mission here, looking for a woman. If Chris allowed himself to get sidetracked, he'd never find Isabel. At the same time, if he got sidetracked, he'd possibly get to sleep with a dryad. Not too many people could claim that, he'd bet.
Woman? What woman?
The slender branch lifted his chin and forced his gaze to meet another of glowing green.
No one here but me and you and my sisters, son of perdition, the progeny of the Dark Lord himself. Will you taste like a human male?
The words whispered around him. Might want to hold off on the tasting thing. He was pretty sure Isabel would frown on it, and he was still planning to find her. He stepped away from the dryad. I should get going.
Don't leave.
Her hair rustled, and a few stray leaves blew past him. Thin tendrils, smooth bark with only a few rough edges stroked his cheek.
Stay. Stay with me. Take root in my fertile soil.
She cradled him in her boughs, and his hazy mind smiled.
This was so nice.
Hugged and appreciated, a woman who finally wanted to undress him. Who didn't run away. Isabel just doesn't appreciate me. No, she didn't. I deserve someone who will let me be who I am. Damned straight. I can do whatever I like. So can she. Blink. Hold on a second. It made him wonder a few things. He brushed away the limbs and sat up. So, Willow.
I am Southern Bayberry Wax Myrtle.
Now that's a mouthful, which usually would have been a good time to follow up with, I'm a mouthful, except he had no time to be flirting with a dryad. But a burning question had to be asked. Are there male dryads around here? The bark skin of her features creased.
You want a male?
Not me. He looked properly aghast, as if he could ever give up pussy. I'm talking about for Isabel. What are the chances a male dryad went after her? That wouldn't be good. For him, I mean, because I can't allow anyone to put the moves on my future wife. Or he'd take an axe to their trunk.
There are no males,
she crackled, as if an ice storm snapped her branches. Sweet. He smiled, but then immediately frowned.